Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to 2024, and that's what people do are back in the new year. My name is James and I'm joined by Ryan. How you doing, Ryan? How's your new year?
Yeah, you are. Hello everyone. Happy new year 2024. It's wild, isn't it? It's like, it's just time just doesn't stop. It's one of those things, it's a concept, and you're someone's as you get older, you start to realise what time actually means. When you're a kid, you just don't care.
You see, but I saw an interesting thing about this the other day, that as you get older, time moves faster because it takes up less portion of your life. So when you're like 1 year old, a year is your entire life. So that's all that you know. So when you're six, a year is just a sixth of your life. So it seems fucking long. But when you're like 30, a year is a 30th of your life. So it's shorter. So it seems shorter to you.
Do you know what I mean? No.
So when you're like 50, a year is a 50th of your life.
Yeah.
You've already done it 50 times before. But when you're like 10, it's a 10th. You've only been through it 10 times. So it seems like a greater amount of time to you because you haven't experienced time as much.
That sounds like a mathematician who is just trying to be smart at a dinner party would say that.
You see, it really made sense to me. Like, when I read it, I was like, wow,
that makes a lot of sense. I think the reason why time moves faster as you get older is because you've got more stuff to do. And so therefore,
you say that, I things don't really go do quicker.
Your days not drag.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
But then when I look back at the year, I think, fuck, that went quick.
Yeah, all the time. I don't like it. Time's getting too, it's going too quick. I will be 31 this year and I just don't know what to do with myself.
That is terrifying.
I know, it's scary, isn't it? But yeah, all good. How was your new year? What did you get up to?
Yeah, it was nice. Went around to our friends, had some drinks, played some games, just very chilled. You went to London, didn't you?
We did, yeah. So on New Year's Eve, the episode that went out on New Year's Eve, I said that we hadn't yet figured out what we were going to do because we hadn't managed to book a hotel or anything in London. We did manage to book a hotel in London, and yes, we got to see, if you follow us on socials, you saw I was by Tower Bridge, which is right near the Tower of London in central London, and yeah, we got to see the fireworks kicking off, and yeah, it was a nice atmosphere, like I said it would be. It was really nice, enjoyed it.
Nice, happy for that. But there was some big news over sort of the end of December and start of January, which segues perfectly into the episode of Gypsy Rose Blanchard was able to celebrate her Christmas or late Christmas with her family, because on December 28th she was released. So we're going to do something that we've never ever ever done on this podcast before, which is really exciting, and do an episode on someone that we've already done an episode on.
Sounds lazy, doesn't it? But it is an update. Yes.
But I've completely rewritten this like it's a new episode. And if you go back and listen to our first one, which you absolutely should, that was more of a review of the documentary Mommy Dead and Dearest, which we still discuss the story. But this one obviously updates with what is Gypsy up to now, what's happened in the days since her release, because it's a hot topic at the minute. Everyone's sort of clamoring to get an interview with her.
Mm.
We won't, but we can relay the information that she has said.
Yeah, I wonder about that, because, you know, like, obviously she is showing up on quite a lot of interviews. She has a three-part documentary series exclusive with Lifetime over in America coming out next week. How much money do you think she is charging?
Or do you think she's raking it in.
Do you think she is making money out of it?
Yeah, she's got a book coming out as well.
It's one of those that, like, apparently it's a thing, like, if you're a prisoner, you cannot make money off of your crime. So like, while she's in prison, she can't like write a book and then take any of the proceedings from that. But I don't know if that's a thing in America, but I've heard this. Well, it's a thing
very
somewhere.
Very handy that it's all happening a few weeks after a release, isn't it?
Yeah. So I wonder even then if like if you do that, it must go through like someone else, like a dad or something like that. Like, he'll be the one that makes money off of it, not her. Because like,
I don't know, it is a bit wrong,
isn't it? Where if you know if you're making money off of your crime, but then having said that, arguably we're making money off of her crime too. Because if you're listening to this, there are ads on this.
Yeah, everyone's capitalising. It's great. Money makes the world go round.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you're all listening to it for a reason. It's because you're all fucking dirt. You're nasty, horrible people listening to true crime stuff, aren't you? So
yeah, everyone's got some morbid obsession with it, and it is a fascinating story. So
really
how this episode is going to go, we're gonna discuss her story. So if you've never heard of Gypsy Rose Blanchard and you just clicked on this episode for some bizarre fucking reason, you're gonna get her story again, and then we'll go into the days of after prison, what she'd been up to, and then sort of a moral discussion about whether it's right that she is out of prison, and two, sort of her mental state. We're not therapists, but we'll have a good go.
Oh yeah.
So our previous episode, as I said, was more of a review of the documentary, but we did also follow the story as it went, and I think we did hit all the key points. But this episode, we'll just recap and how things occurred. For those who are worried that it will be the same, it won't be, because as I said, I've completely rewritten it. I actually got my script up of the last episode that we did, and because we watched a documentary, that entire script was just bullet points, so I couldn't use any of it. So this is all new.
Hey.
And I was really fucking angry at myself for just bullet points and things.
Yes. Hooray for putting in the work.
Yeah. Wasn't pleased. So Gypsy Rose Blanchard was born in 1991 to her mother Claudine Dee Dee Blanchard, who is most commonly referred to as Dee Dee, and that is what we shall be calling her from here on out. Dee Dee is a vital part of this story, as without the years of abuse that she inflicted on Gypsy, which resulted in her murder, there literally wouldn't be anything to talk about. The web of lies began when Gypsy was just a baby, as Dee Dee claimed that her daughter suffered from sleep apnea, which was the first of many times that she would fabricate health issues. It should be noted that Dee Dee was well known to the rest of her family as a liar and potentially a criminal. They believe that Dee Dee starved her own mother to the point of death. It's very telling that when Dee Dee died, which we'll get to later, nobody in the family wanted to collect her ashes. The mother and daughter would become well known and would have holidays paid for alongside their home and other luxuries because of Gypsy's supposed illnesses. They would meet celebrities, go to Disney, and just get loads of free stuff, all because everyone believed that Gypsy was an incredibly sick child. But she wasn't. In a filed document, Dee Dee outlined that Gypsy had asthma, epilepsy, hearing and vision impaired, fed with a feeding tube, paralysed from the waist down, learning difficulties, muscular dystrophy, leukaemia, lung disease, incontinence, a heart murmur, anemia, hyperventilation, and quadriplegia. Which is quite a lot of things for a child to be going through.
Mm.
Allegedly. Gypsy was confined to a wheelchair and subjected to a litany of medications, surgeries and invasive treatments, including the removal of her salivary glands and the extraction of her rotting teeth. Her mum did not brush her teeth.
Yeah, that's why like you see in pictures she's got those like silver teeth around the back, but she's got no like none at the front.
Yeah. Weird. Yeah. It's quite striking. Yeah, nowadays as well, it's quite striking. It was like, what's up with their teeth? This is what, they were all fucking removed because they rotted. Dee Dee was remarkably good at maintaining the illusion of her daughter's illnesses. She had some nursing training, which meant that she could accurately describe symptoms and either administer medications to simulate certain conditions. She was also very charming, which meant that she could often manipulate doctors into getting what she wanted. When Gypsy Rose was old enough to communicate, Dee Dee instructed her not to volunteer any information during medical appointments, maintaining control over the narrative of her daughter's fabricated story. Even Gypsy's father, Rod Blanchard, was deceived. Dee Dee informed him that their daughter suffered from a chromosomal order that explained her myriad of health problems. If you look at pictures of Dee Dee and Gypsy when they're together in public, they will most likely always be hand in hand, or Dee Dee will have her hand on Gypsy in some way. And when Gypsy began to speak out of line, Dee Dee would just give her a bit of a squeeze and tell her to shut the fuck up. That meant to stop talking.
Yeah, that's tricky, isn't it? You know, you said about the doctor, like when Gypsy gets to a point where she's like old enough to sort of have some thoughts, she's like, you don't talk to the doctor, you don't say anything, you just sit there quietly. Like, does at no point the doctor sort of be like, you know, Gypsy, you're old enough to tell me yourself, how are you feeling?
I think because her mum had said that she had mental difficulties and like learning difficulties, that she would just have to be her voice for the rest of her life.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Do you know what, as I said it and you answered, I was thinking, I just thought of myself, I'm looking at Gypsy as she is now and trying to put her in that situation.
Yeah, exactly.
It, I think, is very important to remember. If you are clued up with the Gypsy story, if you're not, then obviously this makes no sense to you. But if you are, Gypsy, as you're explaining right now, has no fucking reference about the world. She doesn't know what's right or wrong at this point. She's just, her mum is her world. That's all she knows. She doesn't know anything else. Whereas now she's a fucking grown ass adult
woman.
And
she believes herself at this point that she's really sick because she's just been told and doctors are performing operations on her and stuff. Like, at that point, you'd believe it.
Yeah, no, I think, yeah, that's really good and important to remember, because it's been a while since we looked at this case, and now she's free and she's a grown ass woman. It's easy to forget. But yeah, as a teenage girl who thinks she's a lot younger, that's all she knows, because she's been told this stuff and she genuinely believes a lot of it.
Yeah.
So yeah,
and a lot of stuff comes up about her dad and how her dad didn't realize. Gypsy had very limited contact with her father, but he was also genuinely deceived by Dee Dee, and he is, now that she's out, doing as much as he can, spend as much time with his daughter as possible and sort of make up what happened. Dee Dee and Rod are separated at this point.
Yeah, and we said last time when we talked about documentary, like, he seems like a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah, he is genuinely deceived. He tried to give like financial support and wanted desperately to be involved. I omitted this part from this episode for some reason, but in the last episode we went into more detail about how Rod and Dee Dee met, and I think it was just like a fling. I think it wasn't like a committed relationship.
Yeah, a bit of a shotgun wedding, really, wasn't it? I don't think they were. I think he got her. She's a lot older than him, and he got her pregnant on like a night out or something, like a really quick fling. She got pregnant. She kept the kid, and he was like, "Well, I guess I'm gonna have to step up now." So then, just tried to be a dad, and I think she pulled away, right?
Yeah. He has since expressed regret at not spotting the signs of abuse, saying, "I had my doubts, but I mean, you're staying at Ronald McDonald's house and staying in hospital for a week. How do you question that?" Dee Dee also used Hurricane Katrina to her advantage, as she claimed that she was the victim of the tragic event, which allowed her to relocate from Louisiana to Missouri in 2005. She did this mainly to get away from relatives who were beginning to question Gypsy's apparent health battles. She also said that the hurricane destroyed medical records, which doctors, for whatever reason, just accepted. However, some doctors were sceptical, as one picked up on the fact that Gypsy had muscle in her leg, despite the fact that her mom said that she couldn't walk and that she could actually support her own weight. If you had been wheelchair-bound for your entire life and never used your legs, that would not be the case. In his medical record, I guess, journal, I'm not sure what it is, he wrote that the mother is not a good historian. She was a master manipulator.
Yeah, that is damning, isn't it?
It's quite telling. But again, nothing came of this. I think people need to go back and look at the doctors and be like, why the fuck did you have these thoughts and just didn't say anything?
Yeah, because that's so interesting. Like, if you look at astronauts that have been in space for like, what are they up there for, like a year or something whilst they're doing their little job? Their muscles like proper atrophy whilst they're in space.
Yeah. They get used to their climate. Yeah,
when they come back down, they have to be carried for a while and put in wheelchairs to build up the muscle, right? So the fact that she is supposed to be in wheelchair bound for the entirety of her fucking life, and the doctor's like, "Damn girl, you got some strikingly good calves for a girl in a wheelchair."
So if you look at the in India, they have the Babas who do things to get closer to God, and you have the guy who's had his hand raised in the air for however many years, and there's nothing left of that arm. It's just skin and bone.
It is, isn't it? And he can't even put it down.
No, it's stuck there. That's his arm. He can't feel it anymore.
Yeah, that's
it's
crazy.
It's impressive. We should do an episode about them at one point. It's a really interesting story. But anyway, as Gypsy got older, Dee Dee realised that she did have a battle on her hands to keep this teenager under control. She began to falsify Gypsy's age, going as far to alter her birth certificate. But as her daughter grew older, Gypsy's spirit was becoming increasingly difficult for her mother to subdue. In 2008, Gypsy visited a neurologist in Missouri who suspected that she was the victim of Munchausen syndrome by proxy. Unfortunately, the doctor didn't take this any further as they believed there wasn't enough evidence to support the case. In 2009, an anonymous tip prompted caseworkers to investigate Dee Dee's baseless medical claims. However, Dee Dee's convincing explanations led them to believe that no further action was necessary. Spoiler alert, Gypsy was indeed the victim of Munchausen by proxy. But what is it? This is direct from the National Health Service website.
Woo-hoo.
Munchausen syndrome is a rare psychological and behavioural condition in which somebody fabricates or induces symptoms of illness in themselves. Munchausen syndrome is named after a German aristocrat, Baron Munchausen, who became famous for telling wild, believable tales about his exploits and past. Munchausen by proxy is when somebody else convinces you that you are sick and treats you as such.
Hmm. Ah, yeah. I always thought as well it was that you get satisfaction out of... So Dee Dee... Dee Dee has Munchausen's anyway, right? So she gets the satisfaction from being like, oh, I'm sick, help me, like, and then gets that. Mm. But she also gets it from going, oh, look at my fucking, like, horribly disabled daughter who's got all of these, like, all these awful issues. Look, give me sympathy, give me attention.
Yeah, I think there was many things leading into it, and because she's dead, we'll never really find out. Some investigators say that she just wanted the financial aspect of it because people would donate and she'd get loads of free shit, meet celebrities, which obviously is cool. But then also she liked having just the complete control over her daughter.
Yeah, I think it's the control angle, really.
Yeah, well, everything else was an added bonus because Disneyland for free. Disneyland's fucking expensive.
It fucking is, you know. No wonder they give it as a treat for Super Bowl fucking winners.
Yeah. As you can imagine, Gypsy didn't want to live a life bound to a wheelchair, having breathing tubes and other needless medical procedures, especially when she was starting to figure out for herself that she was actually a healthy person, so she attempted to run away. She made a friend in Arkansas, and I'm going to pause right there because why is Arkansas spelt Arkansas? You've literally got a state called Kansas, and then you stick AR in the front, it makes it Arkansas, it makes no sense, sort your language out, who opened up about what was going on. And he told her to come live her life with him. So one night she hitched a ride with a stranger and made her way to her friend. Dee Dee found out where she was and went and collected her. She smashed her computer and threatened to smash her hands if she did it again and used a leash and handcuffs to keep her in the bed. She also found a way to convince medical staff and the police that Gypsy had severe learning difficulties, so nobody would ever believe her if she tried to speak out. Which answers the earlier question. Eventually, Gypsy was allowed back online and began seeking companionship on dating sites, including one specifically targeted at Christians. It was here that she met Nicholas Gojon. The pair struck up a friendship, which quickly became romantic, which then turned into sort of a sexual relationship that was very sinister. Gypsy wanted a fairy tale romance, but Nicholas was into BDSM and other stuff like that. He managed to convince Gypsy to go along with it, and Nicholas had been arrested before for watching porn in public and touching himself in a McDonald's, which is a no-no. An ex of his reached out to Gypsy, saying that he's a bad guy, but sometimes when you get into a new relationship and their ex messages you and like, hey, don't do this, you just think that ex is jealous, so you ignore it. In this instance, Gypsy probably should have listened.
Mm, and when you say he was masturbating in a McDonald's, do you remember how long it was?
It was a long time, wasn't it?
7 hours.
How can a man go that long?
I swear that was the number. If I'm wrong,
that doesn't ring a bell for me. But
7 hours is the number I've got in my head for how long he was in that McDonald's just publicly masturbating.
I'd then throw him out. Anyway, don't masturbate at McDonald's, anyone.
It's frowned upon.
Here, that's what people do. We are against public masturbation. Apart from the Diogenes episode, in which case we kind of supported public masturbation. I don't know. Well, I don't know where we stand on public masturbation.
No, yeah, he had no home to go to, so everything he did was outdoors.
True. I don't know. Anyway, Nicholas had autism and also took medication for multiple personalities, and he told Gypsy that he wanted them all to have a girlfriend, so she created other personalities to match him. Their relationship was mainly online, and they would share sexual images. Her personalities, one was a kitty, which was a child, One was called Candy, and one was called Ruby, which had more of an evil side, which sort of matched Nicholas's vampire personality, which tells you pretty much everything you need to know.
Yeah.
After a year of online back and forth, she opened up to Nicholas about her situation with her mum, and they discussed murdering her. This was called Plan B, as it just started out as a baseless idea. Gypsy and Nicholas first met at a cinema when Dee Dee was present to see Cinderella, and Nick claimed that the pair had sex in a bathroom. In interviews, Nicholas said that Dee Dee was polite to him and came across as a nice person. However, things soon took a turn when Gypsy became desperate to get out of her situation. So Plan B of killing Dee Dee soon became a very real scenario. In 2015, Nicholas carried out the gruesome murder. He came to her hometown and the pair waited for Dee Dee to fall asleep. Gypsy gave Nick instructions on how to get into the house quietly. On the night of the murder, the mother and daughter painted each other's nails and Gypsy acted like everything was okay. Gypsy said the last words her mother said to her was, "Don't hurt me." Gypsy then hid in the bathroom with her hands over her ears as Nick went into Dee Dee's bedroom and stabbed her to death, reportedly 17 times. Nicholas had mentioned before the murder that he wanted to rape Dee Dee, but Gypsy didn't want this, so she told Nicholas that he could rape her as long as he didn't rape her mother, which he then proceeded to do. Following the murder, the pair went to a motel together and there are videos of them laughing together. They stole $5,000 from Dee Dee and proceeded to post the knife from Gypsy's house to Nicholas's house where the pair moved. Gypsy then posted, "That bitch is dead," on Dee Dee's Facebook and even implied that she was raped. She seemed very celebratory, which kind of leads into the debate later on.
Mm.
The two fled to Nicholas's home in Wisconsin, where they were eventually apprehended by police. During the first police interviews, Gypsy denied all knowledge of the murder and claimed that she wasn't involved at all. Her lawyer, armed with medical records that documented years of abuse, managed to secure a plea deal. In 2016, Gypsy pleaded guilty to second-degree murder, resulting in a 10-year prison sentence. A pivotal moment during the trial was when Gypsy walked into the courtroom completely unaided, which left her family in shock as they'd all been convinced that she was paralysed from the waist down and was unable to walk. This is when the penny dropped about what had really been going on. As for Nicholas, the man who committed the murder at Gypsy's request was found guilty of first-degree murder in 2018 and later received a life sentence in prison without the possibility of parole. Gypsy opened up in an interview with Dr. Phil prior to her release, stating that she felt like the sentence that she got was too harsh, as she said that 10 years was too much. She said, "I do believe that I do deserve to spend some time in prison for the crime, but also I understand why it happened and don't believe I'm in the right place to get the help that I need. At the time, I knew I was being abused, but I didn't know exactly what kind of abuse it was. I just knew that I wasn't allowed to do a lot of things, and my mother was the reason. She would force me to be in a wheelchair and force me to go to the doctor's appointments that I didn't need. I just wanted that life to stop. Ultimately, I didn't want her dead. I just wanted that life to stop and that life to be dead." In the same interview, she also suggested that Nicholas should have taken her to the police instead of killing her mum, and also kind of insinuated that he should have acted his age, which seems a bit bizarre to me. On December 28th, 2023, Gypsy was released from prison. So what has happened since? She served 7 years of her 10-year sentence.
Wow, what a roundup.
Yeah, you don't need to read any articles on it, just listen to this.
Well, and not only is it like a really good roundup, it helps to show how wild this case is, because in such a short little confined little roundup there are so many twists and turns, and there is so much more stuff that we cover in our last episode when we talk about it that is not in this episode. So in terms of like context of some of the stuff, like, go back and listen to that and then listen to this, because that will make more sense to you. Because this is absolutely wild. I really quickly, I was just having a little look whilst you mentioned that they managed to get her a plea deal, so she got a second degree murder. Now, I managed to find this on findlaw.com saying second degree murder is generally either an unplanned intentional killing which would be reacting in the heat of the moment when angry, or is a death caused by a reckless disregard for human life. Now, I don't necessarily know where that comes in with her, but...
It's a really interesting case, isn't it? Because she's not the one that plunged the knife.
Exactly, right. So
but she did buy the murder weapon, and she did tell the murderer how to get into the house, and she did ask the murderer to do it.
She gave the murderer all the necessary tools that they would need to carry out said murder.
Yeah.
So a first degree murder is premeditated intentional killings, right? Like stalking someone before murdering them. Like you've planned this out, you know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Arguably, she is in that first degree murder category because she's planned this out with Gojon, right?
Yep.
Second degree, though, because she's not the one who does it herself, and all of the abuse that she goes through leading up to that point, I think, gives her that sort of sympathy edge.
Of course, the abuse, like, context needs to be taken into account here, because she has been abused for the entirety of her life.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it could be seen as self-defense, in a way.
It's tricky, right? It's because the main thing was, and you said this, Gojon really should have taken her to the police and got her help. Like
That's what she said should have happened.
Yeah, but then at the same point, she should have asked for that.
Exactly.
But she doesn't.
She has stated afterwards, like in interviews since, that she should have just told her dad what was going on. Which,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, maybe.
But then again, forgive me, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, but how old was she when this happened?
Fuck, I don't know off the top of my head. She's 32 now, and she served 7 years from 2016, so someone did the maths.
She was 23.
There you go.
Okay, so she was 23 when this all happened. Now, I do think it's important to remember, and not that we're being sympathetic or justifying anything, but she was 23 when this happened, but she's not a regular 23-year-old. She believes that she's somewhere like, she's like 14, 15.
Yeah, and her mum lied about her age and stuff, so maybe she even believed that she was younger.
Yeah, so like she's had to do a lot of growing up whilst even in prison. She's had to like effectively learn how to be an adult, and almost, she's had to do almost 10 years of growing up in such a short period of time just to get to her actual age, if that makes sense. Mm. Because she's been living this life of a very childlike life, you know, dressing up as a Disney princess or having a wee little bow in her shaved head and all this kind of stuff. Like, that was her life. So I suppose putting on her things like, you should have gone to the police, maybe that wasn't necessarily...
No, that's victim blaming at that point, isn't it?
Yeah, maybe that's not right to say that's what she should have done, because maybe that's not a very smart thought that she should have had at that time. But then at the same time, she's on this dating site, but I don't know. We said this before, when like she's on this dating site. I think someone says it in the documentary when they're like, you can take or hide things from kids as much as you like, but they will fucking find it. And when it came to like sex, you know, there's only so much that Dee Dee could hide her from this. She will find this. And when she found it, she went all in. And then it just so happens that she found Gojon. She just plays up to whatever he wants to do because she has no reference. She's got no idea of what she wants to do or what, you know, what she's into. So she would literally just do whatever he wants. So when he's like, oh, I've got loads of personalities, I want all my personalities to have a girlfriend, she's like, okay. So then she has to make the personalities up for him. So I don't know. But then saying that you want to kill someone, is that a smart thought? Or is that a very basic, simple thought?
I think it's someone at the end of their tether. It's really fascinating how, like, this whole murder thing went down and people... Because she was involved, she was heavily involved in the murder. Like, if you take all the context away, she's still heavily, like... She murdered her mum without plunging the knife. There's a really interesting case going on in America at the minute, which is not very similar, but kind of. There was a school shooter, I forget his name, really, really prominent school shooter, and his parents are on trial for, like, not seeing the signs. And, like, I think they might have bought him some weapons or something. And then he went and shot up a school, and now they're on trial for, like, second-degree murder. It's really interesting.
Yeah, that's interesting. My instinct is, no one should be buying their children guns in the first place. So
America.
That's what you should be fucking on trial for, buying your kid a fucking gun. That's dumb. But
this is a cultural difference, isn't it? Because we're over here, like, whenever I see a gun in public, like if you're at the airport or like, there's armed police walking around, I immediately go, oh, fucking me, he's got a gun.
No, but I'm
Whereas
sorry.
I imagine it in America, if you see someone walk past with a gun, you're like, oh, it's just a Tuesday, isn't it?
Well, I don't know, I'm sorry, this is going to upset a lot of Americans, I'm really sorry, but I don't necessarily think that, it's a cultural difference is an excuse for it. Like, a cultural difference that can directly hurt people, is that acceptable? I don't know if that is. Like, just say, oh, but it's
no,
a
not at all. I think it's the equivalent of someone buying their kid here just a pack of knives.
Yeah, like,
oh, your kid didn't need it.
Yeah, exactly. Kid don't need that. Your kid don't need a gun. Fuck off.
Yeah, but then there's a whole, you know what they're like in America. They like to go hunting, and guns are just, it depends what state you're in, of course. Like, I imagine some people in America listening to this right now being like, that is not the case, which is fair.
Mm.
But then others who will have been brought up around guns for their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is not a debate about gun control. That's a whole separate thing. So, what has happened in the days since Gypsy has been released? Because it hasn't been that long. An interesting point is that she refused to take part in any therapy during her time in prison, which has left some of her family and friends concerned about her mental health, especially as the media is sort of circulating around her. But also, she needs to fucking sort of compute what has happened in the previous 32 years of her life. She's been through a lot.
Mm.
And if anyone needs therapy, I'm not going to, like, maybe she's fine. I don't know. But it seems like if anyone should need therapy,
I mean,
Gypsy needs therapy.
The fact that she's, like, rejected all forms of therapy offered, I don't know if that should have been the case. I think she should have been, like, forced to have therapy. And when I say forced, I don't mean, like, stripped to a chair and a shit, but, like, you know, like in The Office when Michael has to sit with Toby for like six sessions, she should just have to be made to go see a therapist, whether she talks
it
or not.
I think it should be like part of her parole. Should seek help.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't care whether, you know, she's fine or not. No. Like, you've been through a fucking lot and you need to talk this shit out. Like, she definitely needs to talk this shit out. Because all she's going to do now is just talk to the fucking media anyway and make fucking bank. So what's the difference?
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that is her therapy. I don't know. But it's not professional help, is it?
No.
But anyway, something a bit more fun. She said that it's been her dream to meet Taylor Swift because Taylor Swift sort of, through her songs, told her, like, what womanhood is. Which, to be fair, like, loads of, like, young women probably feel the same. Everyone fucking loves Taylor. I like listening to Taylor's music. She hasn't taught me what womanhood is, but I think she's cool. Anyway, she said that she had tickets to go and see Kansas City Chiefs, where Travis Kelce plays. For anyone that's not up to date on sort of pop culture, Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift are together, and Taylor goes and
it's fucking irritating watching those games.
She can.
It's fucking annoying.
I imagine, yeah.
Because every game is just, how often can we look at Taylor Swift? And you're like, right now, but I'm trying to watch the game.
Yeah, there's been a big pushback from the NFL as well, NFL fans. Sadly, Gypsy was unable to use the tickets that she had bought because her parole officer ordered her to leave Missouri. It's not really known why, but it's largely believed because it was her own safety, because everyone was sort of like scrambling to get to her.
Mm.
So they just told her to sort of go away for a little bit. She did spend a belated Christmas with her dad and family. And then there's pictures of like having New Year's.
I've seen that picture of her with her dad and that. And that's nice. I really like that picture because, you know, you've come out of prison. And the dad's been there since the start, like ever since she's been showing up at prison, at court and everything. He was there, and you see it in the documentary when she's sent down. The dad and her stepmom, you know, they give her a hug and they're like, listen, we'll be here waiting for you when you get out. And yeah, lo and behold, she's out and she's now with them, and they're there to sort of support her. I like it. She's never going to meet fucking Taylor Swift. Like, if you're any sort of self-respecting person, you're not going to actively meet this woman because she's so controversial. Can we have sympathy for her, though?
This is a big debate at the minute, is that people are almost like celebrating her. If you go on her Instagram, and she has TikTok now, she's all over social media.
Oh, I'm not surprised.
Go into the comments, and people are like raving about her. Like, being like, Gypsy, you're amazing, you deserve this, this, this. And I get it to a point. She went through so many years of abuse and she got out, like, it is it's incredible. She didn't deserve the life that she had. But she also played a big part in killing her mum, who, to be fair, was the one abusing her. So it's a really interesting debate about whether she should be celebrated or not, or whether she should just be released from prison and should just live her life quietly.
I want to take her story and just change like one thing about it. And if we change the fact that her abuser is her mum and it's just a random person, do we still have the same issue?
What? Someone stole her when she was a baby?
And... Someone kidnapped her as a kid and she murdered her kidnapper. Is the issue that it's her mum?
I don't think so. I think anyone who kills their abuser is going to be sort of celebrated.
No. So what I mean is in like why we don't like her. So why people have an issue with her.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, that's actually a really good point. If she was abducted when she was a really young age by some random like man, for example, and ended up killing him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, people exactly view it differently that. And sort of celebrate her escape.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. So if it was just a random guy kidnapped her, he's abused her, done all this kind of stuff, blah, 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 she finally gets away by killing him, would we celebrate that more and be like, wow, that's an amazing story. You did this. You had to do such a horrific thing to get out of that situation. But because it's her mum, is that why we see it differently?
That's a good point. Yeah, probably. That is a really good point. Is that that's something to stew on, listeners? Stew on that
stew
as we
on
move
it.
On.
Yeah, if you've got an opinion on it, please do send us that one because I don't really know. I mean, there are lots of stories of survivors who have to do absolutely horrific things to get out. Now, arguably, she had many other options and she just picked the worst one when she could have gone down other avenues. So, there are other ways that she could have done it. However, in the scenario and the situation, the life that she'd lived, was that realistic? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe she took the most realistic one. I don't know. But let's move on to her romantic life.
Oh, yeah.
She and Nicholas broke up very quickly after they were sentenced. Gypsy kind of blamed him for everything. And Gypsy engaged in another romance with a man named Ken, who she met through the prison's pen pal initiative. Which a lot of prisons do this, and it's also a lot of how prison romances sort of come about. Some people actively seek to get into a relationship with prisoners, if that's your thing, power to you. I find it a bit weird.
Yeah, it's a bit weird.
The pair got engaged in 2019, but later that same year, they announced they had split up. 3 years later, in 2022, Gypsy married Ryan Scott Anderson. Details about how they first connected from the prison remain unclear. However, things weren't all a bed of roses for Gypsy and her new husband, as shortly after their wedding, Gypsy said, "It's with a heavy heart that this morning I made a decision to go ahead and file for annulment and end my marriage with Ryan." However, despite the announcement, the legal paperwork for the annulment was never filed. The pair are still married today, and Gypsy plans to move in with her new husband. And if anything, it's evident that things are going very well with the pair, as online trolls have found Ryan's Instagram page and have begun harassing him, to which Gypsy replied in his comments, which is where I think maybe she needs a bit... Anyway, you can make your own mind up about this. She said, "Our family is who matters. If you don't get likes and good comments, great. If you get hate, then whatever, because they don't matter. I love you. Besides, they're jealous because you are rocking my world every night. Yeah, I said it. The D is fire. Oh. Happy wife, happy life."
Fuck's sake. We said this last time. She, when she was talking to GoJohn, they were cringe. Like, serious cringe. They were 13-year-olds cringe. And she still is because she has, again, she, like I say, she has no fucking real-life reference for what sex probably actually is and how relationships work. She's married to a guy, but... He even says it himself. So I watched a couple of news clips before we started recording. And he, there was a quote from him saying something how they're really looking forward to when Gypsy gets out to like taking her out and doing proper couples things. Like she's never been out on a date to like the cinema or to a restaurant.
Yeah.
You're like, Yeah, exactly. She's never done any of this stuff. She is just doing what she thinks is the right way to do. And, like, she's just lashing out at these comments. And I get it. I get it. You're going to lash out at it because, you know, she wants to defend her husband. But, yeah. Mm.
It's a whole new world for her, isn't it?
It is a whole new world for her. Like, she has no reference. It's like an alien coming down to this world and just sort of being taught football. But they've watched Green Street and they think that's how you should behave. And you're like,
yeah.
You start being a hooligan all of a sudden. You think, no. That's not how it works. That's just a weird side of it that's not relevant. Like, don't just stop doing that. You can go and watch the football, enjoy the football. You can support your partner. You don't need to say that dick is fire. that's weird. Because he's what, 37? I think he's 37 years old. He's a special education needs teacher, isn't he? I looked it up. He's a special education needs teacher. He's 37 years old. He's a big guy as well. Listen, I'm not fat shaming anyone, but he is big.
But I don't think he's like massively overweight. He's just built big.
Nah, that guy's big. Look, this guy's a 4XL shirt. Right. Have a look. This guy is huge, and she's tiny.
Oh yeah, he's quite sizable.
He's a sizable gentleman. And she's tiny. She's really, really small. And I think they like he picked her up from the prison at like 3 a.m. on her release day. And I think they went straight to like a hotel, which is where she got that freedom selfie that she took in the hotel mirror.
Yeah.
That was in the hotel. I don't know. Why do you think she like tried to annul it straight away?
I don't think she has any... Like, this is where I think she needs therapy and, like, a support system around her about how the world works. I think she's been in abusive relationships her entire life that she thinks that the second things start going wrong, she's going to hit that massive panic button and be like, oh, it's over, this is crisis.
Mm.
No one's ever, like, worked through anything with her in, like, a rational manner, if you know what I mean.
Mm. She has a tendency, obviously, with Gojon as well, like, because she's got that abusive background... She will submit to someone. She's got that submissive. She's got a submissive sort of tendency. So, I wonder whether like acknowledging that, if she sees that and she's like, "Oh no, I'm not doing that again." I don't know whether that has anything to sort of any play.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't really know the ins and outs of her relationship. But
do you think she'll ever just get a job?
It depends how much money she makes from all these interviews and stuff.
I'm thinking, like, because yeah, you can't see her working in Target or something, can you?
No, I don't know. I think the media storm will eventually quiet down, and when that happens, it'll be interesting to see what she does.
Mm. Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, what happened to Nicholas? I hear you ask. Don't worry, about to tell you. The man probably won't see the light of day again. But his legal team argues that he was being manipulated by Gypsy. At a sentencing hearing in 2019, he said, "I was blindly in love. That was very much the case." Stating that his time with Gypsy was the best time of his life, he added, "From the very beginning, I just knew we were soulmates. Those 5 days when I was actually with her, physically with her, those 5 days were the most intense and magical and awe-inspiring days I've ever had." Doubling down that he felt like murdering Dee Dee was the only way for him to be with Gypsy, he said, "Somehow I just knew deep within my heart, some way me and her would end up together in the end. There's no other option. We gotta do it. I wanted to make sure her mom was not going to harm her anymore. I made sure of that." Like, don't get me wrong, Nicholas wanted to rape Dee Dee and instead raped Gypsy and had like a... awful history of sexual wrongdoings. So he probably did pose a threat to the public in some way, but would he have murdered Dee Dee if Gypsy didn't ask him to? Maybe not,
and he probably wouldn't have murdered anyone. That's the high.
He would have just carried on jacking off in McDonald's.
Yeah, he just would have continued to have been a bit of a sexual deviant and be put away for things like that. It's hard to say what he would or wouldn't have done, but I do think, you know, he likely would not have killed anyone had he not been asked to do so. But that doesn't excuse the fact that he did.
I think the worrying thing about him, he was also fixating on raping people, which I think at that point he does pose a threat to the public.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. We see a lot of sexual deviants that perform that horrific level of crime that will get to a stage, if not caught, that they will harm and murder someone.
Yeah, but if it's interesting as well, there's a video on YouTube. Just type in Nicholas Gojon police interview when he was first arrested and being interviewed. It's a couple of hours long, I think. And the woman conducting the interview with him, is he didn't have a lawyer with him because I don't think he asked for one because he didn't really know how it worked. The woman doing the interviewing with him is so lovely and is so nice and is like joking about him, about what happened, and is sort of like being really blasé about everything. And he just spills everything. He says absolutely everything that happened, which is kind of heartbreaking because like he's a lad with autism, multiple personalities. He clearly needs like medical mental help. And he was, I think he was a bit abused by the system in a way, and everything very much got pinned on him. He was the one that plunged the knife, and I'm not, he deserves life in prison, absolutely, or maybe life in some sort of mental health ward. But it was almost like that he became the bad guy of this whole story, when I think Gypsy, I don't know, it's horrible to say, but like, was he manipulated into killing Dee Dee? Some people will say yes, and people in the comments of the video of his interview strongly believe that he was manipulated and didn't deserve the sentence that he got.
I think he's manipulated, yes. I think he's manipulated in the sense that he is neurodiverse. He has his own issues that he was on medication for. His parents have said that, you know, he struggles with a lot of things, and how old was he? He's like a couple of years older than her or something.
I have no idea.
But he had like the mental age of like a 16-year-old or something.
He was.
So he has issues. And so I do think, yes, he is manipulated by Gypsy. Whether it's with that much intent, I don't know. Because the argument is then, it's like, is she fully aware that she is manipulating him? I don't necessarily think she's aware of what she's doing. But
that's also the argument, isn't it? That she was being around a master manipulator for her entire life, that maybe that's just what she thinks default behavior is.
Yeah, probably.
So that's just what she does without realizing.
Maybe, yeah. So you could, you know, in that sense, is she aware of the fact she's doing it? Probably not. Is he still being manipulated? Yes. But is he... Yeah, he is. I think he is. Does that still mean he should, like... Does that excuse anything? No, of course it doesn't. Should he maybe be...
No, he still killed someone.
Should he maybe be receiving some help? Absolutely. Yes. Because, you know, he's not a neurotypical person. He has issues that he needs to work through. And I hope he is getting the help he needs in prison. Yeah, I do think that it's important to remember is that he is neurodiverse. He has got problems that he's working through, which probably led to that. But he is also a danger to people.
He is a massive danger to people. So he should. Yeah, it's weird, but it's a shame it had to get to this point. In 2022, he asked for a retrial. Which was denied.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, he asked for a retrial, but it was denied.
Wow. I watched an interview whilst he's in prison. I think it's like 4 years ago, and he's like got a massive beard and he's got shaved head.
Yeah, shaved head. Yeah,
his mustache is just dripping like saliva and I think or sweat. Yeah. He's just dripping, like almost like throffing at the mouth, and you're like, oh god. Would also like to point out, someone did mention when we talked about the last episode, someone had a not had a go, but like I think they reviewed or something. They were like, please be careful. You're blaming. Neurodiverse.
Oh, is that this one?
Yeah, they're like, you're blaming neurodiverse people for crimes and stuff. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm not. I think they were saying that, like, Gypsy's neurodiverse, and it's like, there's no necessary proof that she is. I don't think, of the gigantic list of issues that she has, in terms of the real ones, I don't think there are any that say that she is neurodiverse or has any issues there.
None that spring to mind. Nicholas, no. Definitely so, yeah.
Nicholas does, we know that. Which is why, you know, I do have some sympathy to some degree. No. Arguably, without Jared gone, do you think Gypsy would have... Do you think Dee Dee would... Like, if Jared gone was around, do you think Dee Dee would still have died eventually? Is it one of those that is just the perfect storm? So without either one of them, Dee Dee doesn't die.
I think if Gypsy started communicating with someone who was a bit, I don't know how to say this, like, respectfully, because I genuinely don't know how to say it. I think there are people that she could have contacted or been in contact with on dating sites that would have taken a different course of action, is how I would put it.
Yeah.
Someone that would have just gone to the police and been like, this is happening.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, like, is it a perfect storm?
I think she found the right or wrong person, however you want to look at it.
I think you're right. I don't think that it would have happened if she'd met someone else.
No, but there's a lot of sympathy out there for Nicholas, which I can understand to a degree. He did desperately need help, and he didn't ask to be in this situation. He got bought into this situation, and he did in his head what he thought was the right thing to do, because he thought he was protecting the love of his life. Which sadly was not the right thing to do. Can't wait for comments.
Yeah.
Anyway, as for Gypsy, as we mentioned, she's got a book coming out, as well as a new documentary, which comes out very soon. So financially, she's probably going to be okay. And she's also stated that she intends to have children and to start a family, which...
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
I've never met the woman. I don't know what she's like now. You can only go off what you've seen in interviews, but is she in a place in her life where she will be a good mother? I suppose that's one that you'll have to wait and see when she is a mum.
I don't see why not.
I mean, she knows everything not to do.
Yeah, exactly that. Yeah, she knows what not to do. I don't see why she couldn't be a good mother and have a normal life going forward with her husband and her family. Because, like we've mentioned, the family, the dad and the stepmom and that, they seem seriously very supportive. They seem very, very supportive. As long as they're still there and they are a good influence in her life, I don't see why she can't have a normal life going forward where she can have a family of her own and bring up healthy, good kids. I don't see why not. The issue would be that the family distance themselves, or she distances herself from the family. She splits up with the husband or something like that, and she ends up being on her own again. That's, I think, where the issue is.
I think that is the worry, that does she know how to maintain a healthy relationship?
Oh, yeah, probably not at all. But then that's probably what the last 7 years in prison has been about, is, you know, meeting with her, having a dad and a stepmom come over and, you know that she has a loving family, that you know, she can talk to people if she needs to.
Yeah. So that's sort of all the notes I have, but I guess the final question is, what happens next for her in the next few years? And also, is it safe for both herself and the public that she is outside? I was speaking to a friend about this recently, who I won't name, who said that they believe that Gypsy is going to get in trouble with the law again at some point in the future. I don't know why they said that, but they just said that's their belief, which I thought was just an interesting...
Yeah, but was that belief based on anything? Like, what type of crimes?
Someone that has no idea how to act in the real world.
Nah, I don't know. I don't know about that, personally.
I kind of got where they were coming from, because this is a person who has she's never been in the normal world. She doesn't know what the real world is. And I think it's evident by how she's taken to social media and is responding to people and clapping back at people that she is quite a reactive person. Do I think she'll kill someone? No, I don't.
No, not at all. But I don't think she'll ever kill anyone again. I don't think she's a danger to anyone.
But will she commit? I don't know. It's all hypothetical, isn't it?
Yeah.
This is the beautiful thing about this case. There's so many fucking opinions on it.
Well, this is the hot take section. You know, you can say what you like. If you think she will, she will. Like, you know, she may not, but you can say that you think she will.
It's just difficult. She has fans, which is it's kind of worrying that when someone has fans, the second you say something bad about someone, they fucking come for you.
Mm.
But she's not Taylor Swift. She's someone that was abused for years and ultimately had a massive hand in her mum's murder.
Mm.
I think people lose sight of the context of this case a lot. It's a true crime case. She's not a celebrity.
No, she's not a celebrity. And I think she is going to forget that.
I think the best thing for her, I believe, will be do this documentary, release your book, get your money, do 6 months of interviews, whatever, and then just live your life quietly.
I mean, honestly, it's fascinating. We really could come back to this again and do like another update, a part three on this, because like you said, she's going to be having the media circus for the next few months. She's going to do interviews with people and they're going to ask her questions that she maybe doesn't know the answer to, or, you know, can't answer in a way that is correct, if that's the right way of putting
it. But the interesting time will be when the media circus finishes. How does she react? Because it will, people will lose interest at some point, because that's just how the media works.
What does she do
then?
I can see her popping up on lots of podcasts.
It kind of strikes me like Amanda Knox. It's like she's made a career out of what happened to her. I think Gypsy could easily do the same.
It's almost like the Casey Anthony case as well, isn't it? I don't know if you're clued up on that. We'll definitely do an episode on her at some point, but she was accused of killing her baby when she's like 18, 19 or something like that, and I think it was like never quite conclusive whether she did or not, but she's a very divisive person, and she's not made a career out of that, but she's doing well. And arguably, she wouldn't be doing that well without it. So, for anyone else listening, if you know the Casey Anthony case, you'll get the reference. I wonder if she'll do a Casey Anthony and sort of she'll be relatively successful on that sense. I don't know.
It's like Madeleine McCann's parents as well, isn't it? They've made a fucking bucket load off the disappearance of their daughter.
I mean, yeah, that mortgage on that giant fucking mansion is paid off now.
Yeah, but you can turn bad things into good things. I think to conclude, for me, I am happy that Gypsy's out, because I think she does deserve to have a shot at a normal life. And I genuinely hope it works for her. Like, genuinely. I do have reservations about whether it will. But I hope it does. I also, it's weird, because I don't want to feel sorry for Nicholas, because he killed someone, raped someone, and is a sexual deviant. But I do think he was mistreated by the system. And I don't think he's in the right place for him if he's just in a normal prison. I think he needs better help than that. I also think he was abandoned very quickly by a lot of people. But I suppose that's my two cents on it.
No, that's fair. And so for me, I'm pretty much on the same page. We usually are when it comes to these things. I sincerely hope that she can go forward now and have as normal a life as possible that she can have. I hope that the next few months are not too fucking overwhelming and intense for her, and I hope she can ride it out pretty okay and just get on with it now. Do I agree what she's done? No, absolutely fucking not. Could there have been another way to do it? Absolutely fucking yes. But she's out of it now. She's arguably paid her dues. She's been to prison. She's done her time. She's out now. Make the fucking best of her life. And I think the best thing you can do in this situation in terms of paying back is just live a good life.
Yeah, exactly. Be the mom to, if she's gonna have kids, be the mom to her kids that her mom never was to her.
Yeah, exactly. So I do sincerely hope that she can go forward and have a successful normal life. And when I say successful, I mean normal, not famous. She's not a celebrity, like you say. I hope she can go off and have a successful, i.e. normal fucking life, where she can grow up, have a family, and just get on with it and die with money in her bank. Like, that's fine. For Goat John, yeah, I'm like, as long as he's getting the help that he needs, that's where he belongs. That sucks as much as it sucks, you know. He did an awful thing. It is what it is. It's done, isn't it? He committed an absolutely horrific crime.
The rape afterwards that just makes it worse. Yeah. He wanted to rape, but like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's awful. So in terms of like, oh, I hope you do well, I'm like, yeah, he's like he's in prison for life. He ain't getting out. So
he's never getting out.
I just hope that whilst he's in there, yeah, he can get the help that he kind of fucking needs and just sort of get on with it. Yeah,
but it must be if he's got access to social media, which I don't know if he has, and he's seeing this woman that he claims is the love of his life talking about someone else's dick, that ruins a man.
Yeah, yeah, it probably would. I doubt he has access to social media.
Hopefully not, for his own sanity.
Mm.
Anyway, there you go, Gypsy Rose 2. Join in next year for Gypsy Rose 3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll see how it goes, and if we need to update again, we'll do it. Because you guys are absolutely fascinated by her case. We recently were looking at our numbers and we're like, hold on a minute, fucking hell, like why we've recently blown up somewhere, and it was all of you guys are listening to the Gypsy Rose episode. So we thought we'd give you guys an update on it and sort of our take on it as well. Let us know your thoughts, because honestly it's such an interesting case, and I feel like everyone could just discuss this for hours and hours and hours on end. And no doubt every other podcast in the world is doing the same thing right now. Let us know your thoughts in the comments. Send us an email, send us messages, you know how the drill. Thanks for listening. Napoleon, part 3. Soon?
Oh, yeah.
Soon?
I was going to say, we've had 2 episodes from me back to back, which hasn't happened in a very long time.
Mm.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So we may get another one out before I get to part 3. Yeah, man, it's going to be big because there's a lot to cover. This dude's going to pretty much rule Europe for a little while before.
Well, most of Europe.
Most of Europe.
Play rule Britannia.
Laughs in British. look forward to that coming up soon. And thank you very much for listening. We'll see you on the next one.
Goodbye.